Today is called Remember Sunday, or as you see in Latin, Reminiscere. It is the traditional name for this Sunday, and you might have caught why. For throughout our propers today, introit and tract, gradual especially, but even the tract, there is that word over and over, remember. But remember what? Remember your mercy, O Lord. Remember not the sins of our youth or our transgressions. Remember, O Lord, when you show, remember me, O Lord, when you show favor on your people. Remembering is an important thing for God. It's something that he does each and every week in his divine service. He reminds you who you are and who he is. You recall we started this Lenten season with remembering. Remember you are dust, and to dust you will return. Last Sunday, our Lord brought to our remembrance the three ways that he was tempted. And so we learn how we too are tempted. Indeed, those temptations last week were all not about remembering God, but about how we are tempted to forget him, to forget to trust him, to forget to call upon him in every time of need. That is, to forget to believe and have faith. Today's gospel lesson provides a great example how God causes you to remember yourself, but also how he would have you remember him. When we hear the story of the Canaanite woman, we learn a lot about ourselves. This, of course, was a woman who, much has probably been said to you in the past about the status of women in the first century world. But what is unique about her is that she's described as a Canaanite. Now, the Canaanites should have all been destroyed. That was the command of God, that every single one of them, woman and child included, be slaughtered when the promised people go into the promised land. She shouldn't even exist from the vantage point of the scriptures. Nonetheless, she shouldn't even come near to him, being an outsider, a Gentile. And yet there she is. She comes near to him, calls out after him, the one who should be destroyed, the one who should not be allowed in God's presence, the one who is not part of the chosen people. And Jesus acknowledges that these things are all true. He teaches us that this is the truth about every single one of us. He teaches it by not answering her a word. He doesn't rebuke his disciples for not allowing her near. He doesn't call out to her and say, "Oh, it's okay. You should have been destroyed, but you are part of the chosen host of Israel." No, he says nothing. And so teaches that these things are actually true. Truth about who she is and about who you are. Indeed, she is outside the chosen race. She is not of the house of Israel. She's not even one of the forgotten sheep of that house. And so he does not pursue her. This, of course, is true as well. By the flesh, we are no lost sheep of Israel. Not someone God should seek us out, should seek out and find. For we are sinners. We do not follow his commands, but we wander astray, wander into territories that are not his, outside of his house, outside of Israel, following the thoughts of this world, the weakness of our flesh. Indeed, Jesus goes to this extreme even with the Canaanite woman. For he says, when she finally does come near and kneels before him, that she is nothing but a house dog, a pest, someone you tolerate, an animal even, that you tolerate, but not one that you cherish and hold dear, not your favorite pet. And that she is not even deserving of the food that he has promised to his children. And it is true. We do not deserve what God has given us and continues yet to give us. Indeed, when we sin, we make ourselves a little less human. Less than God's perfect and holy creation. More like the animals. Untamed. Wicked. Not following the Lord. And so the Lord brings to the Canaanite woman's remembrance and to yours who you are. At least according to your body. But we also learn from the Canaanite woman how to suffer under such torture from our God. When he tries our faith, he challenges us, he doesn't listen to us, it seems. He sends us away even calls us names. We respond the way the Canaanite woman did. She knows she doesn't deserve to be in his presence, and yet she calls out to him, O Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. The sort of thing that a king can do. She rightly confesses who he is, the Son of David, the one who has promised to come and bring forgiveness of sins, mercy, ultimately, too, healing for her daughter. And so she holds Jesus to his word, just as he's holding her to the word. He has promised mercy, and she's asking for it. She cries out like a child. That's what the disciples say anyway, as she was a pest to them. Crying out like a child for this mercy, admitting that she is worse than a lost sheep. She is the Gentile, the forsaken. And yet her hope does not lie in herself. Does not lie in her stature, that she's come into a Christian congregation, for example. In her case, the house of Israel. That she was born into this as a birthright. Her parents were Christian, and thus she is too. No, she doesn't claim that she's even walked in the Lord's ways. Day and night. She's followed all the commands and thus deserved to even talk to him or receive what she asks. No, she holds him to his word, asks for the things that he has promised even to the Gentile, even to the wicked. She calls him Lord multiple times. Lord, that word that we learned on Wednesday means Redeemer. She begs of him, help me, come to my aid, rescue me. Of course, these are all things that the Lord has promised, and she's holding him to it. And even when he calls her a dog and says that she does not deserve the food that he has promised to his children, she says yes, even though a brief crumb that would come from that table, just a small morsel of that bread of life, would be a great blessing, no mere trifle. Food better than any food I could receive in this life. Indeed, for I am dust, and to dust I will return. I need that bread of life, and you have promised it even to me. This is the wrestling with God that Jacob did, the wrestling with our Lord that we do in our prayers, asking and not always hearing anything back. Asking for things, for help, for forgiveness, even though we acknowledge we don't deserve it, by birthright, by membership in this congregation, or even by our own works. Our prayers are just like this woman's prayers. We don't reject the Lord when he calls us poor, miserable sinners. We heed that word and we say, yes, Lord, it is true. When he says you don't deserve an ounce of my love, we say, yes, you are right. I have sinned. When he calls us less than human, less than his perfect creation, sinners, we say, yes, we know. We have not followed you in thought, word, and deed. We are not human the way you created. Maybe even a dog. But we also acknowledge in our prayers who he is and who he promised to be. While we are outsiders, in Jesus we are made insiders. While we are undeserving, according to our flesh, in Christ, in what he did for us by shedding his blood for us, we are deserving of heaven. While we are lost Gentiles, he brings us into his house and gathers us together. As a shepherd gathers his flock. We are dogs, it is true, but he makes us again, through his son, man and woman, according to his purpose. And we are going to the dust, we have to acknowledge. But from that dust, God will breathe again life, the life of the Spirit that called his own son from the grave, will call us from the grave. The resurrection of the body. And so we learn not just who we are, but we are called to remember who Jesus is. He is the Son of David. He is the King of all. The one who makes a kingdom of believers, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of his church. He is the shepherd that gathers not just the lost sheep from Israel, but also the lost from all nations, from every corner of the earth. He is Lord, Redeemer, even of the heathen, even of the Canaanite, the one who deserved to be destroyed millennia before. And finally, even that bread that falls from the Master's table. Yes, he is Master. He is the giver of every good gift. And he even gives us crumbs from his bread of life, that is his body. In all these things, in our divine service on this Sunday, we are called to remember not just who we are, but who our Lord is, our Savior, our Redeemer, the Son of David. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.